what you want me to say to your people. And God gave me this text a while ago, and actually years ago I had the theme written in one of my journals. And just so happened I ran across it, and the Lord blessed me and told me to give you this theme. So you already heard the word from St. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But I need to go a little further down. I'm going to skip verse 8 through 18. And what I need to do is to extrapolate from verses 19 through 25 to get you to my theme. Is that all right? But from verses 1 through 7, Jesus was not just claiming to have lived before Abraham. He was claiming eternal existence. He was claiming to be God himself. And the Jewish leaders understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. So they took up stones to stone him for blasphemy. The man who was blind from birth, the scripture says he was a beggar. And we know beggars waited by the gates of the temple for gifts for worshipers, from worshipers. So from verses 1 through 7, you'll find out about the blind man. In the message, all I'm going to do is deal with the blind man. And at the end, I want to give you a little from verses 19 through 25. From 8 through 18, there's a controversy and another story in this lesson, but I'm not going to deal too much about that. Amen?
All right.
So from verses 19 through 25, I'm reading it from the message, so follow me closely. The Jews didn't believe it, didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. So they called the parents of the man now brightened with sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it that he now see?" His parents said, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how he came to see." Having a clue about who opened his eyes, "Why don't you ask him?" Your Bible says he is that age, but the message says he's a grown man. He can speak for himself.
Well,
his parents were talking like this because they were intimidated by the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who took a stand that this was the Messiah would be kicked out of the meeting place.
Well,
that's why his parents said, "Ask him, he's a grown man."
My Lord.
So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory, for we know this man is a sinner," talking about Jesus. How dare them? And he answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see. Though I was blind, now I can see. It don't matter how I received my sight. It didn't matter. But whereas I was blind, now I can see."
Well,
fourth thought before I go into prayer. The theme is out of darkness into the marvelous light.
All right.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, here I stand, Father God, to deliver your word. Realizing man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. So as I open my mouth, God, you proceed, that your glory may go forward, that your word would go forward, that your power would go forward, Lord, that your anointing would go forward, God. It is always my prayer, Father God, that if there's anyone that doesn't know you in a pardon of their sins, after the message is preached, God, that they have run to the altar crying, what must I do to be saved? So, God, if there's anyone, it's your business. Do what you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Now, you would have thought, my brothers and sisters, that after the blind man received his sight, that there would be a wonderful celebration. You would have thought that all his neighbors, all his friends, and even the Pharisees that seen him grow up would have appreciated what Jesus had done by giving him a new life. You would have thought that the consequences of favor or this miracle would be celebrated. But instead of them celebrating him, a controversy broke out concerning his healing.
Well,
this is significant because we must understand that the best moments in our lives often provoke jealousy and envy in someone else's life. We too want and expect and we require that those, whether in our family, whether on our jobs, or whether in our churches, to appreciate the journey that we went through to get where we are, and that they would be happy for us. But you'll find out that your best moments or your favor moments or your blessed moments become someone else's envy. Someone else's frustration and someone else's aggravation. And you have to determine, are you mature enough to walk in what God has done in your life? In spite of criticism, in spite of being ostracized, in spite of being rejected, in spite of being ridiculed or neglected. Do you know that some people make a career out of criticizing? They love to tease. They don't want to see you blessed. They love to see you fall down and not get up. And some folk know exactly how to push your button just to knock you off your square. You see, they don't necessarily have to say anything. All they have to do is just give you a look. And you know exactly what they're doing, what they're saying. They just look at you. Am I right about it? All of us in here, in some way, are miracles. Whether it was healing from cancer, whether it was deliverance from a substance abuse, or being healed from brain surgery. And some things we might have been born with, and the saddest thing is when you've brought those things upon yourself because of sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short to the glory. Not y'all. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. In other words, all of us have done something in our past. All of us have done something in the dark that we're not proud of, that we didn't want anybody to see. But one thing you need to realize is that God is omniscient. Omniscient means that he sees everything and he knows everything. Am I right about it? Our God is omnipresent, which means also that he's
present everywhere. There's no place where you can hide and God not see you. You can hide from me, but you can't hide from God. Psalms 139, 7 through 12 says, whither shall I go from thy presence, spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and the right hand, glory to God, shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be like light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are all together. They look just alike to God.
Well,
hallelujah. So if you think you can hide from God, you'd have lost your mind. Huh? I'm going to say it again. You can hide from me, but you can't hide from God. The reason why people love darkness rather than light, it's because their deeds are evil. Isn't that scripture? They think they can get away with anything. They think they can get away with crime. They think they can get away with cheating. And the devil loves to keep you in the dark. I might get in a little trouble with what I'm getting ready to say, but God told me I got to say this. Do you know you can be saved and live in the dark? Do you know you can sing on the choir and live in the dark? Do you know you can be on the usher board and live in the dark? Do you know you can preach, teach, and be on the deacon board and still live in the dark? Don't trip. It's going to be all right. So God sent me here to tell somebody to come out from among the world and touch not the unclean thing, and be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. You see, we are the chosen generation. Am I right about it? According to 1 Peter 2 and 9. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people that should show forth the praise. That's the key right there. Whenever God brings you out of something and brings you into something, when God brings you out of bad and brings you into good, you ought to praise him. That's simple as that. God brought us out of darkness and to the marvelous light. That's why we should praise him for saving our life. That's why we ought to give him glory. For he took our feet out the miry clay and he placed them on a rock to stay. Don't you know it was God that picked you up? He turned you around. He placed your feet on solid ground. That's why we praise him. That's why we ought to love him. That's why I owe him my service. I owe him my praise for the rest of my day. I owe him. Good God from Zion.
And the truth of the matter is, he don't owe us nothing. Here you have the disciples asking Jesus what I believe was an unimportant question at the time. Who sinned? His parents or this man?
Well,
you see, the disciples had a crash course of faith to understand who they were and how they were to operate. So they asked the master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Whenever you have an adversity in your life, we have the proclivity in our own human reasoning to always want to understand why this has happened. In other words, who do we blame for this? Who do we blame for that? Well, I like this because I'm like this because my parents are like this. I'm like this because my brothers and sisters are like this. I'm like this because my homies are like this. And I want to be like my homies when I'm running in the street. So I'm like this because my homies are like this. And we always look for some reason to explain the vicissitudes of our life. But Jesus blows it all this out of the water and said, neither did his parents sin, nor did he sin. And it's nothing that he did to bring this thing upon him. This needs to be taught well because somebody is blaming themselves for something that you have no responsibility for. And Jesus said it was nothing that you did that brought this upon you. This happens. It's nothing that your parents did that caused this to happen or caused that to happen. Things just happen. Bad things happen to good people. Am I right about it? So rather spend the rest of your life trying to figure out, woo, glory, why is this happening to me? You ought to be preparing yourself for your best days are ahead of you. Hallelujah. The scripture says, neither have this man sinned nor his parents. But, and this is what I like, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So this is what we call a profound statement. Jesus is suggesting there, he's suggesting here that the adversity of men, or here's another way to put it, if you didn't go through anything that was adverse, God would not have a way to show how strong he is in your life. Should I repeat that again? If you have not been through anything adverse in your life, God cannot show how strong he is in your life. Can I use an example? Thank you. The Bible says, and Pastor Waller, he hit a note on, I already had this in my notes, y'all, that Job was a man who lived in the light. Huh? He had a blessed life, and he walked upright. Yet, God allowed darkness to overshadow his life. Brother Job lost his children. Brother Job lost his health. Brother Job lost his wealth. And he wound up, I said that with poor health. and his wife told him to just curse God and die. But then here come these three so-called friends accusing him of some type of sin. But through it all, you need to understand that Brother Job kept his head up. Brother Job kept his integrity. Brother Job kept his light shining out of his darkest moments. And at the latter end, the Bible says in Job 42:10, after he prayed for them friends, God gave him double, hallelujah, for all his trouble. And if you want to see the works of God made manifest, then you need to look for someone who's a wretch undone. And you'll see God's strength made perfect in their weakness. Hallelujah. When we are at our worst, God is at his best. When we are down, God will lift us up. When we are broke, busted, and disgusted, he'll work a miracle in our finances. No matter what we go through, when we are at our worst, God is at his best. And just because you may be in a crisis right now, doesn't mean that you're going to spend the rest of your life in a crisis. It's just a test. And I don't believe we've reached this part in our lives where we're trusting in God with all of our heart. And I just don't believe that now my faith has been activated. I'm walking with integrity, loving my family, taking care of my wife, doing right in the church, that I'm going to live my second half like my first half. Let me put a finger right there, because at the end you're going to realize that the blind man's second half was greater because he was a grown man. From infant till he got his sight, that man lived in the dark. That's at the end. I got to get to the end. I'm going to break through this today because I know what God promised me, that my latter days are going to be greater if I walk upright and do what God says. Everything he promised shall come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, too many times we have the tendency to characterize people and put them on file and lock them in a cabinet, and sometimes we forget all about them. We say, this is a successful person, and this is a person who has failed. We say, this is a good person, and this is a bad person. That brother or that sister is the black sheep of the family. And this is the person that exercises their faith. But what I want to do is warn you against premature judgment.
All right.
Because some of the very people who are in a crisis and look like they weren't going to make it and look like they weren't going to blossom, they look like they weren't going to bring forth no fruit, maybe the same person that God will bless and use them as an example and make a table before you in the presence of the enemy. They are the one who has an appointment with destiny, but because we judge them prematurely before they had developed and gone through all the changes, what we do, we X out the ones that God had put in. Thank you, Pastor. And
man said, I'm going to skip by her. I'm going to skip by him so that I can bless you. But you got to be in a position, in the right place at the right time, just like the blind man who could have stayed home, got some sleep, but he got up on his usual time, went to the place, didn't know Jesus was coming by. You got to be in the right place at the right time to get your blessing. Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know this man couldn't see, but this man could hear. And when he was in his place, he heard that Jesus was passing by. So we know from John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So we know that Jesus is the Word. So this man exercised his faith. And when he heard that the word was passing by, he had to say nothing. Because Jesus saw him himself. And Jesus, when you read the text, wanted to heal this man. That the works of God may be made manifest in him. Hallelujah. So, you need to understand that when you want your breakthrough, when you want your dreams to come to pass, when you want God's favor, and you know that it surely will come to pass, you got to trust in him. Amen? We have to live our lives with a sense of feeling that something great was and now is about to happen. You've gone through many adversities. You've gone through many challenges. Let me put that we in there. We. We felt like throwing in the towel. And sometimes we felt like life was not worth living. But in the moment of your greatest disparities, there was an intrinsic, a small voice deep down in your spirit that said, I got you. He said, just hold on. Something great is about to happen. You see, the funny thing is, we can't ever describe it, but we know God said it. You can't even explain it, but God said it. But deep down inside of you, you know something big is about to happen. And I thank God he brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light to bless our life like never before. Because where you are right now is not where you're going to end up. And somehow or other, I will come out. We will. Let me put that we in there. Come out on our feet. Because I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually in my mouth. But verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord. I will bless him, but we can magnify him. So when he bless me, he going to bless you. Hallelujah. So where you are right now is not where you're going to end up. And it might not look like it right now, but something, I can't even name it. I can't even explain it. I've never seen it happen before. I don't see it coming quickly. But deep down in my spirit, I sense that a move of God is on the way. It's in the atmosphere. I don't know the day nor the hour when it's going to come. All I know that a move of God is on the way. So isn't it amazing how you can hold on to something you can't describe or explain, but you're still holding on to it for dear life, and you know something about this is about to happen. Now, all of this, all of you who have received the favor, you don't really have to get into this. But all of you that have been waiting and have been waiting a long time, touch your neighbor and say, it's about to happen. Oh, glory to God. That healing you've been waiting for, it's about to happen. That financial breakthrough that you've been waiting for, it's about to happen. Everything that you need, everything that you desire, everything that you want, it's about to happen. All you got to do is just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will. I said He will. I know that He will. If He can make a way for me, He can make a way for you. You see, this situation concerning the blind man, it means from the moment he was an infant, he was blind. He never seen his parents. He never seen his neighbors. He never seen the sunrise nor the sunset. He just grew up in a world where people described and talked about things that he could only hear but could not see. But isn't it amazing how you and I can also live in a world or in our community or on our job or even in a church where somebody's going through their great blessing at a time when you are locked out of it? Hallelujah. Now, you can hear it and you heard about it, but you can't see it for yourself. You listen even on the radio, and others were talking about how it was going for them, but you're not seeing it. Well, and you know people that have great marriages, but you don't see it. Well, you come to church Sunday after Sunday with people who are getting their breakthrough, but you don't see it.
Well,
and you're in a state of blindness, but yet in spite of the blindness, this man is still living. We are still living. Listen, he's living in the dark, living in isolation, living through rejection, living without the benefits of others, people around him. But he's still living. Now, you may ridicule him if you want. And I've seen people ridicule those that are on the street. Shame on you. But I have to respect people who live in adverse circumstances and God bring them out. So you can say whatever you want. But if somebody else who had lived with the blindness like this man might have committed suicide in our time. Hallelujah. So, I just can't. But in spite of his darkness, his darkest hours, he kept living anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I take this a little further? In spite of his darkest hours, hallelujah, he kept living. So there are people in our congregation who are living in spite of darkness. They are living in the dark.
They get dressed in the dark. They come to church in the dark. They brought stuff in the dark. They're raising their children in the dark. They go to work in the dark. And they don't have anything that everybody else has. And they can't see all the blessings that everybody else has. But instead of all of it, they're still in the dark. Hallelujah. Still in the dark. Can't see the light of day. Don't know where they're going to get their next blessing. Don't know if they're going to get a new job. They're in the dark. And God wants to bring you out of the dark into the marvelous light. So I challenge you that you can't wait until your change comes to strengthen yourself, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means in spite of the darkness, in spite of the adversities, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the pain, in spite of the rejection, the divorce, or even the bruise, whatever it is you're still facing, continue to pray, fast, study, continue to love people in spite of, and move forward and prepare yourself, because God has a perfect plan just for you. And what God has for you is for you. What God has for me is for me. And no devil in hell can block, stop, or touch what God has promised. So listen, you can't tell me that God brought me all the way to this point in my life and all he had for me is trouble. I refuse to live in trouble. I refuse to just give up and die in trouble. My breakthrough is headed my way, and I'm going to hold on until my favor comes. You see, it would have been different if this man already had his sight and went through, already had a sight and went blind. And similar to Ray Charles, who had his sight, seen his mother, seen what she looked like, seen the stars and the moon in the sky, seen the sunrise and the sunset, seen his friends and his neighbors, but went completely blind. Well. Hallelujah. But because he was born blind, this man now is believing Jesus for something for which he has no point of reference. He had to exercise his faith. A faith which tells there's no verbiage or vernacular. A faith that attacks my spirit and gets deep down in my heart. And yet, you can't honestly say that everything has been all right. That you have been happy all of your life. That you believe in God for something for which you have never seen. Hallelujah. Stay with me. I'm almost there. You just have to have faith to believe. That things aren't going to end up the way they started out. That somewhere there's going to be a U-turn where you can turn things around and go in the right direction. But here it is. Jesus said, this man's condition, that the works of God may be made manifest in his life. When Jesus is ready to heal him, Jesus used a method that was unorthodox.
Jesus could have just spoke to the man and he could have recovered. He could have just touched the man and he could have been healed. Is what we consider, and excuse my French, when Jesus spat on the ground, that is one of the, y'all said it, nastiest things that you can do to anybody, just to spit on them. That's a sanctified way. Amen? Thank you, Pastor. He used an unorthodox method to heal this man. You know exactly what I mean. That's trifling. But Jesus does something that we would think could make his eyes worse. But it comes to getting healed. But when it comes to getting healed, when it comes to getting my deliverance, when it comes to getting my blessings, as long as it's Jesus, it's by any means necessary. Am I right about it? Whatever Jesus had to do, this time, it's by any means necessary. If he has to spit, then you just got to spit. Because I don't want this time for the Lord to pass me by. He can spit. He can speak. He can touch. Whatever it takes to get my breakthrough, whatever it takes to get my healing, just do it. And I don't know about you, and I'm almost there, but I'm not going to let go until I receive what God has for me. By any means necessary. And the man born blind heard something he wasn't expecting. He heard Jesus. He heard Jesus with hawk spit. And Jesus made clay of the spittle and told him to go wash in a pool of Siloam. Well, the blind man went and did as he was told. He received his sight and he began to walk in the light. Do you think, for one, that he was thinking about the controversy with his neighbors and the Pharisees? Do you think that this man, once he received his sight, was worried about what others had to say over the fact that Jesus worked a miracle? They didn't see that it didn't matter to him, so how he received this sight shouldn't matter to you. The verse in the song Amazing Grace, it says, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I believe that he was singing, or maybe him in a song, I once was lost, but now I found. I was blind, but now I see. Is there anybody in here who's been in darkness and God brought you in to the light? Is there anybody here who's been spiritually blinded and God gave you spiritual sight? Is there anybody here who's been sick and God healed you? Is there anybody here that was hungry and God fed you? Is there anybody here that was down and God lifted you up? Is there anybody here that didn't have money in your pocket and God fixed your finances? Well, I've never seen anyone, once they take gave up and wanted to go back. I like the blind man. You can question me all you want, but this the one thing I know. This one thing that you is embedded in my heart. Whereas I was blind. Whereas I was in darkness. Whereas I didn't work like you work. Whereas I ain't have what you have. I was in dark. But Jesus, he brought me to the light. And my second half is better than my beginning. Because Jesus, he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Standing all over the house.